for this evening is found there in the verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The cry of Jacob, as he spent time with the Lord in prayer, his cry was, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Genesis 32, verse 26. A similar cry came from the lips of Jabez when he said, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. And then we read about Moses praying to the God of heaven. And the prayer of Moses was, Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us. Deuteronomy 26, verse 15. We have quoted then three prayers from three individuals. And from these prayers, we can see how man is so desirous for the Lord's blessing to be upon them. Indeed, what Christian does not want the blessing of the triune God to be his or her portion? And here in the Sermon on the Mount, the Savior speaks about that very subject of being blessed. 9 times the Lord gives us his Beatitudes. 9 times sentences begin with the word blessed. And when we look at the 9 Beatitudes, the Savior is showing us how we may know blessing, how we can have God's blessing upon us. You read through the Beatitudes, and each Beatitude leads to blessing. And the blessing comes from the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Where does the kingdom come from? It comes from God. God will give us the kingdom. Blessed are they that mourn. Who shall comfort us when we mourn our sin? The Lord will comfort us. He is the comforter. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's the reward for those who are meek. They'll inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Who will fill the Christian who hungers and thirsts after righteousness? Why, none other than the Lord himself. He'll fill those that hunger and thirst. And that now brings us to the verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They will obtain mercy from God. It always leads us back to the Lord, these Beatitudes. And you will notice that when you look at the 9 Beatitudes, the 9 times you have the word blessed, you will notice that 8 out of the 9, the word are, is in italics. Because we know that in our authorized version, the translators were honest. And where the word wasn't there in the original, they added it to add sense to the sentence. but they were honest and they put it into italics to indicate that they had added it in. But if you look at that, those verses, those Beatitudes, which have the word are, and read it without that word, it seems to make the blessing all the more emphatic. Blessed the meek. Blessed the poor in spirit. Blessed they that mourn. Blessed they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And blessed the merciful. They're blessed. When the Beatitude is read through, without the use of that word, as I said, it seemed to make the blessing all the more emphatic. So now we come to the fifth Beatitude. There in the verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want, first of all, with the Lord's help, to consider an explanation of merciful. What does it mean? How may we explain the word merciful? The Lord speaks of the merciful as being blessed. So that in itself, straight away, would surely stir us up to say, well, I want the Lord's blessing upon me, upon my life as a Christian. And if I want the Lord's blessing, then I need to be numbered with those who are merciful, who will show mercy where it is needed. Blessed are the merciful. Regarding this mercy, I want us to look first of all at the meaning of being merciful. If we take the word mercy, or merciful itself, you look up a Young's Concordance, and Young gives us the meaning of the word merciful to mean to be kind, to be compassionate, to be kind, to be compassionate. The Puritan, Thomas Watson. Thomas Watson gives his definition of the word merciful. And I quote, "It is a melting disposition whereby we lay to heart the miseries of others and are ready on all occasions to be instrumental for their good. It is a melting disposition whereby we lay to heart the miseries of others and are ready on all occasions to be instrumental for their good." That's what Thomas Watson said. That was his definition of the word merciful. Arthur W. Pink, mighty man of God, Arthur W. Pink gives his definition. He says, "Mercy is an inversion to everything harsh, cruel, oppressive, or injurious. A propensity to pity." In other words, Pink says that being merciful is the opposite to being cruel, oppressive, and injurious. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, Albert Barnes says the merciful are, quote, "those who are so affected by the sufferings of others as to be disposed to alleviate them." In other words, what Albert Barnes said was that when we see others suffering, we want to do something to help them. We pity them. We want to be kind to them, compassionate. We want to help them all that we can. Remember, the Lord says, blessed are the merciful. If you're not merciful, there's no blessing in store for you. That's what the Lord is saying. Blessed are the merciful. You go over to James, the epistle of James in the chapter 2. In James 2 and verse 15. And here James says, if a brother or sister, so he's talking about God's people. He's addressing believers. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What good is it to the brother or the sister who's naked and destitute if you look upon them and you see their state, you see their nakedness, you see their destitution, and you just more or less said, well, the Lord bless you, brother, Lord bless you, sister, and do nothing about it. You don't try and help them. You don't try and clothe them. You don't pity them at all. James says, what profit is that? In other words, no profit at all. We're to be merciful. If we see a brother or a sister, as it were, naked and destitute, we are to be merciful towards them and do what we can to help them. That's what the Lord is teaching. So we see then the meaning of being merciful. That leads us then to consider the making of the merciful. According to the Scriptures, the natural man, the unconverted, the unregenerate man, is not in any way merciful. We read in Romans chapter 1. We'll not take time to read all the verses. But there in Romans 1, Paul is describing the natural man, the unconverted. And we read in verse 29, regarding the natural man being filled with all uprightness, unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Then you go down to verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. There it is. Unmerciful. The ungodly man, according to Paul, is unmerciful. He's not a man who's ready to show mercy to those who are in need. So something needs to happen then. We were all in that state before God saved us. And so something needs to take place in our hearts, in our lives, to change that from being unmerciful to being merciful. There needs to be a change. I find it interesting that this particular beatitude is number 5 of the 9. 5 is the number of grace. And so how does one who in their natural state, their unconverted state, their unregenerate state, be unmerciful and then become merciful and show mercy and have pity on others in need? What brings about the change? It's grace. The grace of God in a person's life does a work in that man or woman's heart, melts that hard heart. And that heart has pity. And the heart goes out to those in need, to that naked or destitute brother or sister. Has compassion on the needy. And is full of mercy. It's interesting how, in some of Paul's letters, how he introduces himself. We read in 1 Timothy 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace. Notice what comes first. Grace, then mercy, and peace. You find Paul addresses Timothy in the second letter in exactly the same way. And grace comes first. In other words, without grace working in the heart of the unregenerate, that individual will remain unmerciful. It's the grace of God that changes a person's heart and they become merciful. And they have pity for those in need. They're not hard-hearted anymore. They see the needy. And their eye pities them. From one who showed no mercy to the needy, to one who became very merciful. All because of grace in his life. I speak of Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 8, Saul has just witnessed the stoning of Stephen to death. And when they set out to stone Stephen, they took their outer garments off and they cast them down at a young man's feet called Saul. So he played his part in the stoning of Stephen. And then we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and healing men and women, committed them to prison. That word howling, that word means to draw or to drag. He made havoc of the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women out of their homes and committed them to prison. Unmerciful. Saul of Tarsus was unmerciful. Think of it. Going into homes and dragging men out, separating them from their wives. Going into homes and dragging out women and separating them from their children, showing them no mercy. until that day on the Damascus Road. And Saul of Tarsus was converted. And God changed his heart from one who had been unmerciful to one who had a soft and tender heart. For we read in Acts 20, he's saying farewell to the elders in the church at Ephesus. And he says in Acts 20 and verse 19, speaking of what he did for them from the first day until he was about to leave, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. In verse 31, we read, therefore watch and remember, and by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He was merciful. He pitied the people he ministered to. He pitied the sinners he ministered to. He had wept over them. He cried over them. He prayed over them. I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. There you see the change that the grace of God wrought in the life of Paul. It was only grace that could have done that. We read in Colossians 3, in verse 12, Paul says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. But what did he say? Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Put on. I often think of those words there in Colossians 3. Paul describes the Christian's wardrobe. Put on bowels of mercies. You can look at the words of Paul and say, am I wearing the Christian's wardrobe? Do I have those bowels of mercies? Am I merciful in my dealings with others? Grace brought about the change. Someone said grace is especially associated with men and their sin. Grace is especially associated with men in their sin. Mercy is especially associated with men in their misery. I think that's good. It was grace that reached and saved Saul, found him in his sin. And oh, what a change. He became merciful. Warned everyone night and day with tears. He didn't shed many tears when he was dragging men and women out of their homes and committing them to prison. But that's what grace did. As well as the meaning of being merciful and the making of being merciful, I want to look at the moves of the merciful. How do the merciful behave? How do they move? How do they act in given situations? Remember again, that's important, to remember the meaning of merciful. It means to be kind. It means to be compassionate. That's what it means. It has to do with having pity on those who are in need and less fortunate than ourselves. Those who find themselves in a state of misery. And the dear Saviour illustrated that in a story that he once told. You turn to Luke chapter 10. And there in Luke 10, we're all familiar with this story. He told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, and there in verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. There he is, lying at the side of the road, dying. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. There was no eye of pity there. Poor man has been stripped, robbed, beaten. He's dying. And we read, the priest saw him. Oh, he saw him all right. Wasn't as if he didn't see it. Pass by on the other side. But then we read a certain Samaritan. The Samaritan, as he journeyed and came where he was, and when he saw him, there it is. He pitied him. He had compassion on him. You look at that story the Savior told, illustrating in a very practical way what being merciful is. You notice the different points that the Lord was emphasizing. First of all, he had compassion on him. Second, he was compelled to help him. He couldn't pass him by. He was compelled to go to him. He had compassion on him. He was compelled to help him. And then we notice his care of him. Verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That's what it is to be merciful. He was compelled to help him. He had compassion on him. He cared for him. Ah, but there's something else. Verse 35. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more than I, when I come again, I will repay thee. He was compelled to help. He had compassion on him. He cared for him. And then you have the cost. He took the money out of his own pocket to care for this complete stranger lying at the side of the road. He was merciful. And the Lord challenged his hearers. And the Lord said in verse 36, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, listen, "He that showed him mercy." He that showed mercy had mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." So the Lord wants us to be. Wants us to be merciful. What has he said? Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. You'll notice regarding this Samaritan, what he did for the poor man at the side of the road, he did it willingly. He didn't do it grudgingly. As we read in Romans 12, there in the verse 8, Romans 12 and verse 8, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. He did it cheerfully. Wasn't difficult for him. He did it cheerfully. Anything he could do to help that poor soul, he did it. He went, as it were, the second mile. We talk about second mile Christianity. There it is in that Samaritan. He went the second mile. He was merciful. So we've considered the explanation of being merciful. That leads us then to consider an example of merciful, of being merciful. An example of mercy. And when we want an example of mercy, we could not do any better than going to the one who spoke the words himself. To the one who said, "Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy." You want to know, want to look at and see an example of mercy? You've only to look to Jesus Christ. You see the one in him who is merciful. And for an example of the merciful, we look first of all at the person of Christ. Look at the person of the Lord Jesus. We know, of course, that the Lord Jesus is all mercy. He is the supreme example of what it means to be merciful. In Hebrews chapter 2, and there we read in Hebrews 2 and the verses 17 and 18. Hebrews 2, verse 17. "Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren," this is Christ, "that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. A merciful and faithful high priest. That's the person of Christ. Now, don't we want to be like him? It's what it is to be a Christian. It's to be like Christ. He has set us the standard. He has given us an example. After all, we bear his name, Christians. We want to be like him, conformed to the image of his person. James 5, verse 11. James says of the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Ask James, as it were. James, what would you say about the Lord Jesus? James would reply, the Lord Jesus is very pitiful and of tender mercy. That's how he would describe Christ. Wouldn't it be good if we were described that way? Jeremiah 3, verse 12. We read the words of the Lord. The Lord said, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. It's the Lord speaking about himself. The Lord says, I am merciful. That's who he is as a person. Isn't it? Isn't it as well the Lord is merciful, isn't it? Isn't it as well the Lord is merciful? Where would you and I be tonight if the Lord wasn't merciful? If the Lord didn't show mercy to us. We rejoice that in wrath the Lord remembered mercy. For that's what we deserved, the wrath of God. In judgment, we deserved the wrath of God because of our sin. But in wrath, he remembered mercy. He's merciful. Aren't we glad he is? We read in Titus chapter 3, and verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes, talking about the past, sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward us appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, listen, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. I would nearly have you fall down even now. On your knees. And thank the Lord for being merciful to us. What does it mean, remember? To be kind, compassionate. And the Lord looked upon us with the eye of compassion. And he looked upon us and his heart filled with kindness saved us from our sin. Did we deserve it? Not at all. You don't deserve grace and you don't deserve mercy. So when we want an example of mercy, we need not go any further than the Lord Jesus and what he did for your soul and mine. You see an example of mercy in the person of Christ. You see the example of mercy in the practices of Christ. How often during the Savior's public ministry did the Lord respond to those who called out to him and pleaded for mercy? In Matthew chapter 20, we read there, in the verse 30, "Behold, two men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the crowd tried to shut those two blind men up. The multitude rebuked them. The multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thy Son of David." You think of it. A multitude of people, and there wasn't one of them, not one of them, had pity. And the two blind men sitting at the side of the road. A multitude, and not one pity them. Rather, they rebuked the blind men, told them to hold their peace. But isn't it as well that in that multitude was the Lord Jesus Christ? If Christ had not have been there, the multitude would have passed those two beggars by and never given another thought. But I read, they cried out the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thy Son of David." And Jesus stood still. And called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And Jesus had compassion on them. What did they cry? They cried, "O Lord, have mercy on us." And not one in the multitude cared about them, not one. But Jesus stood still. Praise the Lord. Stood still. And we are told he had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Mercy. They experienced the mercy of Christ that day. The practice of Christ is seen in those two men who sat in darkness. The mercy of Christ is seen in those who were distressed. The Lord Jesus, Peter, James, and John, has just come down the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a man there, a father there, with his son. and had gone to the disciples to ask the disciples his. And they could not. And we read then in Matthew 17 and verse 14, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on my son. For he is lunatic. Sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water." I'm just saying that today. You know how children are attracted to water. We had our two grandchildren there with us today. And we have a bird bath outside, filled with water. They went outside. Where did they go to? Straight place, the first place they went to was the bird bath to get into the water. And Micah came back into the house soaking wet. Children are attracted to water and they're attracted to fire. You know that. If you start a fire outside and there's children around, those children were drawn to the fire. And here we read that this father came to the Lord and said, "Have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water." The old devil was using what attracted the children to destroy that son. And verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." What happened? The Lord had mercy. Lord had mercy on that boy. Because you see, that's who he is. He showed mercy to those who sat in darkness. He showed mercy to the one who was distressed. And he showed mercy to those who were diseased. In Luke 17, we read about the 10 lepers. And those lepers, of course, had been expelled from their community, from their homes, separated from their family. Lived in a leper colony. We read in Luke 17 and verse 11, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." There was nobody else to show them mercy. They had been expelled. They couldn't walk down the street. Lepers were taken to a leper colony, maybe a cave in the side of a mountain, and people would go out and they would take food to them and set them in the neutral piece of ground and leave and go back home again. Then the lepers would come out to pick up the food. That's why we read they stood afar off. They cried out to the Lord, "Have mercy on us." And the Lord told them to go and show themselves to the priest. And as they went, we're told, they were cleansed. Cleansed. The Lord Jesus had mercy on those lepers. Multitude would have passed them by, wanted nothing whatsoever to do with them. What else could they plead but mercy? What else could lift them from their awful state but mercy? What else could integrate them again into the community? Nothing else but mercy. What else could restore them to their homes, to their wives and their family and their children? Nothing, nothing but mercy. Blessed are the merciful. I need to press on very quickly. We have an example of mercy in the person of Christ, in the practice of Christ, and in the preaching of Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, there in verse 10, the Lord spoke about being merciful to sinners. Matthew 9, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eatest your master with publicans and sinners? Same old Pharisees. Play the same old tune all the time. Always critical of Christ. And you can read there that the Lord Jesus was happy to sit with publicans and sinners because they needed Christ, they needed salvation. He was happy to sit with them and to show them mercy. Now, no such mercy was seen with the old Pharisees. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He is merciful to sinners. He is merciful regarding the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verses 1 and 2, the Pharisees again saw the disciples walking through a field and plucking the ears of corn, and they criticized them. And the Lord came to the defense of the disciples. And the Lord said it was an act of mercy because they were hungry. You can read the rest of it yourself. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He wasn't ready to condemn. He was ready to show mercy. The Lord said in Luke 6, verse 36, Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We haven't time to develop the final point, but there you have the expectation of being merciful. The Lord said, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There's the expectation. Shall obtain mercy. The Lord will show us mercy. In that time we need mercy. We'll obtain mercy. If we're merciful, the Lord will show us mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for, listen, they shall obtain mercy. Those who are merciful shall obtain mercy. They shall. There's the persons. Only those who are merciful will obtain mercy. You have the promise. The persons and the promise. The promise of obtaining mercy comes from the Lord Himself. I'll have mercy. The psalmist has said in Psalm 18, verse 25, With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. It's the expectation. So in our time of need, we want the Lord to show His mercy. But the Lord says, if you have been merciful, I will show you mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Great word of the Lord. Blessed. Want to be happy? Then be merciful. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.